being laid to rest yesterday. We extend on behalf of members of the committee heartfelt condolences. Yesterday, we've observed 67 minutes in celebration or in memory of the former president, the late president Nelson Mandela, and we hope all of us who have contributed to the 67 minutes, and we encourage that we must continue to contribute to those that need care and assistance, and appreciate your work in your various spaces for having recognized the day. Last week, we received two presentations, one on the permits, which was led by Dr. Lebisi, and the deliberation of the Electoral Amendment Bill. We must take also this opportunity to account to the issues that we have resolved on. The committee will appreciate the work that you have so far managed to deal with. And overall, we've managed to resolve on all the issues that were before the committee. Noting the presentation of Mr. Lewisi and the issues that we'll be dealing with as we reopen in the third term, we may need Mr. Matonsi to bring back the minister and the team to come back and brief us on the update in relation to Zimbabwe exemption permits. I think it's one area which we may need to get an update on those issues. And I'm quite sure that the minister, the DM, and the DG will be alive to those issues so that we're able to brief, give an update on the issues that are related to the this Zimbabwe exemption permit. Lastly, we have observed last week and must congratulate the minister, the DM, and the DG, and the entire component, and the Commissioner Masiapata, for having demonstrated the continuous work of the Border Management Authority. We have witnessed launching last week the guards and all the systems to demonstrate the work that we have a committee and yourself as a team and Parliament were able to establish the process of this Border Management Authority. To congratulate the step forward in responding to the challenges that the country has been facing around our borders. The committee will take close interest in terms of monitoring implementation and some of the issues that the members of the community on that front of Limpopo in Msina or in our borderlines will be raising, and how positive impact it will do in terms of securing our borders. We take this opportunity to congratulate the first step that the department and the leadership of Commissioner Masiapata and the other commissioners have now exerted on the ground. I will invite Mr. Matonsi to take us through the agenda and apologies so that we are able to invite members to interact with the items before us. We have received a letter from the IEC in relation to their response. As you know, members, we have committed that there are certain issues for the IEC to come back to present to us, in particular to Schedule 1A. And they have written to us indicating that they have not received the report from their legal counsel. And if they have received it, it won't be possible for them to present it today because the IEC commissioners and the entire team need to also familiarize with that report. And we have since allowed the IEC time so that they come back on Friday, this Friday, to brief us on the, to give us the report. So today, they will not give us the report submission as it has been requested by the committee, but we allow them to give a note on that matter so that it's more recorded by the committee. Mr. Matonsi, can I invite you to render apologies and introduce attendance? Thank you.
Chairperson, as you have already dealt with the issue of welcome and opening remarks, and then there's apologies there on the agenda. I've revised the program, Chairperson, to put that up front, that we're going to have the state law advisor going through the draft on the A-list, which has been circulated yesterday to all the stakeholders. And then from there, there will be Parliament Legal Service. They will be briefing us on some of the outstanding technical amendments that needs to be dealt with. Therefore, then there will be comments, questions, and responses. And then the committee has to make decision on some of the issues that will be raised on item number 4, Chairperson. In terms of apologies, so far, I don't have any apologies, Chairperson. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Can I check with the Minister if there are apologies? Or Deputy Minister? Acting DG or DG? Okay. Let me just before, so that it's recorded on the letter we've been sent to, I will invite the Deputy Commissioner or Commissioner Masuku or Commissioner Miebza. I can't able to track who's in attendance. Mr. Matonzi will assist me just on the letter so that it's more clear. Deputy Commissioner Love.
Good morning, Chairperson of the session and honorable members. It's Mosotho Moepia. Commissioner Love is not with us for the moment, but I did want to confirm that we are looking at amendments to Schedule 1A of the Electoral Act, which we will make available to yourselves soon. I think we will be ready to present on Friday. Thank you for your understanding.
Thank you, Commissioner Miebza, for that confirmation. I must also indicate that if members or the team will have difficulties with the network load shedding, we may ground our video. Can you go to another item?
Chairperson, is the presentation by the state law advisors?
Yes, you can proceed. Thank you.
Ms. Sarah Govender will be making the presentation. That's my understanding. I've flagged the presentation on the screen.
Good morning, Chairperson, and thank you. Good morning to the honourable members and all other stakeholders and colleagues present on the platform this morning. Chairperson, I will be presenting, with your permission, the A-list on behalf of Legal Services this morning. If I may be allowed to switch off my camera so that it doesn't affect the connection or interrupt the connection.
Hello, Mr. Matonzi.
Yes, can you hear me, Chairperson?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, Ms. Sarah Govender was already on the platform.
Okay. Mr. Governor, Ms. Governor, you can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, Ms. Williams is not with us this morning, but we have Ms. Harriet Mekwa from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, who will also be present and assisting where necessary today. Chairperson, at the outset, we would like to mention that the A-list that we have prepared and which has been circulated and has been flagged at the moment provides for those matters which the committee has reached consensus on, and it is these aspects that we have included either for inclusion or amendment in the bill. With your permission, I'll be taking the committee through the A-list and Eddie will be flagging it for me. It should be mentioned that whilst we know that there will possibly be changes be made to the long title of the bill, these will obviously be done at a later stage once all the deliberations and decisions have been made. And then these will then be incorporated according to standard drafting practice. The long title is usually amended at a later stage when all the decisions or changes have been implemented. If we can go through to the page 2 of the A list. The first clause that you'll be looking at is an amendment to clause 1 of the bill, which provides for the definitions. It will be noted that the committee has decided that or has made the decision that independent candidates should be or should have representation in the liaison committees. And it was further agreed that the term that will be used will be political liaison committees. Accordingly, clause 1.1 on page 3 in line 4 of the bill to omit and. Point 2 on page 3 of the bill after line 4 to insert paragraph E by the deletion of the definition of party liaison committee after the definition of officer. Paragraph F, by the insertion after the definition of party liaison committee of the following definition. Political liaison committee means a committee established in terms of the regulations on political liaison committees published in terms of the Electoral Commission Act and. And point 3, on page 3 of the bill in line 5, to renumber the existing paragraph E as paragraph G. On page 3 of the A list, a new clause is proposed to be included in the bill to amend section 20 of the Act, which provides for election timetables and to provide for political liaison committees. So the new clause on page 3 of the bill after line 9 to insert the following new clause after clause 1 and to renumber the existing clause 2 as clause 3 and subsequent clauses accordingly. The amendment of section 20 of Act 73 of 1998 as amended by section 9 of Act 1 of 2019, the new clause 2 will be section 20 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution in subsection 1 for the words preceding paragraph A of the following words. The Commission must, after consultation with the party is being omitted, national political is being inserted, liaison committee. On page 3 of the A list, the amendment to clause 4 of the bill is a technical correction to the citation in the heading and does not change the substance of the bill. Clause 3, point 1, on page 3 of the bill in line 18, to omit amended and to substitute with the word substituted. Point 2, on page 3 of the bill in line 19, after the word and, to insert amended by. On page 3 of the A-list, the amendment to clause 4 of the bill is to accommodate the decision of the committee that an independent candidate must provide at least 50% of the quota for a seat in the previous equivalent election. Clause 4.1, on page 4, to omit lines 6 to 9 and to substitute with paragraph A, a completed prescribed form which with electronically submitted signatures of voters totaling at least 50% of the quota for a seat that was required for a seat in the previous elections, whose names appear on the segment of voters' roll for that region or province in which the candidate is standing for election. Also, on clause 4, the committee has agreed that independent candidates should pay deposits, and this has possibly necessitated the removal of the phrase "if any" from the clause. So, point 2 on page 4 in line 10 to omit "if any." The committee has also agreed that the deposits payable by candidates are to be determined by the commission, and that the amount payable by independent candidates contesting an election in the provincial legislature must be less than the amount payable to contest an election in the National Assembly, and that these deposits can differ from the amounts that registered parties pay. So it is proposed that a new sub-clause 6 be inserted. Point 3, on page 4, after line 34, to insert sub-clause 6, the amount to be deposited by an independent candidate contesting an election of a provincial legislature must be less than the amount for contesting an election of the National Assembly, and such deposits may also be different to the deposits paid by registered parties. On page 4 of the A list, a new clause is proposed amending section 39 of the Act, which provides for assistance to certain voters. And this amendment is to provide for the inclusion of agents of independent candidates in this section. The new clause, point 1, on page 6, after line 12, to insert the following new clause after clause 4 and to renumber the existing clause 5 and subsequent clauses accordingly. Amendment of section 39 of Act 73 of 1998 as substituted by section 12 of Act 34 of 2003. Subclause 6, section 39 of the Principal Act is hereby section 39 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution in subsection 1 for paragraph B of the following paragraph. Paragraph B, two agents, either from different parties or representing different independent candidates, if available. On page 5 of the A list, an amendment is proposed to be made to the heading of clause 5. This is a technical amendment as follows. At point 1, on page 6, in line 13, to omit amended and to substitute inserted. The committee has agreed that agents should be appointed by independent candidates as well. So it is proposed that a new clause will be inserted in the bill. And the wording of this new clause will give effect to the proposals made at the last parliamentary committee and captured by the content advisor. However, the wording has been brought in line with section 58(1) of the Act. New clause, point 1, on page 6, after line 21, to insert the following new clauses after clause 5 and to renumber the existing clause 6 and subsequent clauses accordingly. Amendment of section 58 of Act 73 of 1998 as amended by section 10 of Act 18 of 2013. New clause 8, section 58 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A, by the substitution for the heading of the following heading, appointment of agents, by the insertion after subsection 1 of the following subsection, 1A, an independent candidate contesting an election may appoint A, one or more agents for each voting station, or if voting or counting at a voting station takes place in more than one room or separately enclosed area, one or more agents in respect of each room or area. And B, two agents for each venue where the proceedings provided for in Part 3 or 5 of Chapter 4 take place. Paragraph C, by the substitution in subsection 2 for the words preceding paragraph A of the following words, a party is omitted, N is inserted, agent. And paragraph D, by the substitution for subsection 3 of the following subsection, the appointment and revocation of appointment of a person, party is removed, and agent must be effected in the prescribed manner. Amendment of section 59 of Act 73 of 1998, as amended by section 16 of Act 34 of 2003, the clause 9, section 59 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution in subsection 3A for subparagraph 2 of the following subparagraph, the registered party or independent candidate represented by that agent and. On page 7 of the A list, a clause to amend section 62 of the Act, which provides for consultation with political liaison committee, is proposed. Amendment of section 62 of Act 73 of 1998, clause 10. Section 62 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A, by the substitution for the heading of the section of the following heading, consultation with political liaison committee, and B, by the substitution for paragraphs A and B of the following paragraphs respectively, the municipal political liaison committee for the municipality within which that voting district will fall, or paragraph B, if no municipal political liaison committee has been established in a municipality, the provincial political liaison committee for the province within which that voting district will fall. So on page 7 of the A-list, section 64 of the Act, which relates to the establishment of voting stations, an amendment is proposed to provide for consultations with the political liaison committees. Amendment of Section 64 of Act 73 of 1998, as amended by Section 18 of Act 34 of 2003. Clause 11, Section 64 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution in subsection 3 for paragraphs A and B of the following paragraphs respectively. A, the Municipal Political Liaison Committee for the municipality within which that voting station will fall, or B, if no municipal political liaison committee has been established in the municipality, the provincial political liaison committee for the province within which the voting station will fall. On page 8 of the A-list, a clause amending section 66 of the Act, which provides for the boundaries of voting stations, is proposed to provide for agents. Amendment of Section 66 of Act 73 of 1998, as substituted by Section 19 of Act 34 of 2003. Clause 12, Section 66 of the Principal Act is hereby amended, A, by the substitution for subsection 1 of the following subsection. Before the voting station opens for voting on voting day, the presiding officer of a voting station must determine the boundary of the voting station after consultation with agents and members of the security services who are available at that voting station at that stage. And B, by the substitution for subsection 3 of the following subsection, the presiding officer may alter the boundary at any time if it is necessary to do so to ensure proper control and security at the voting station and after consultation with agents and members of the security services who are available at that voting station at that stage. On page 8 of the A-list, a new clause is proposed, which amends section 96 of the Act, which provides for the jurisdiction and powers of the Electoral Court, so as to extend the provision of forfeiture of deposits to independent candidates. The new clause, point 1 on page 6 after line 27, to insert the following new clause after clause 6 and to renumber the existing clause 7 and subsequent clauses accordingly. Amendment of section 96 of Act 73 of 1998, clause 14, section 96 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution in subsection 2 for paragraph C of the following paragraph, the forfeiture of any deposit paid by that person or party in terms of section 27(2)(e) or paid by an independent candidate in terms of section 31(b)(3)(b). On page 9 of the A-list, a new clause is proposed which amends section 100 of the Act, which provides for regulations, and this is to include political liaison committees. The new clause, point 1, on page 6, after line 34, to insert the following new clause after clause 7 and to renumber the existing clause 8 and subsequent clauses accordingly. Amendment of section 100 of Act 73 of 1998, this will be the new clause 16, section 100 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution in subsection 2 for the words preceding paragraph A of the following words. The Commission may make regulations after consultation with the National Political Liaison Committee regarding any matter. At the bottom of page 9, an amendment is proposed to clause 10 of the bill as follows. On page 7, in line 1, after Schedule 1 to omit off and to substitute to. This is a technical amendment that does not affect the substance of the bill. And point 2, to include reference to the newly inserted Section CA of the Act on page 7 in line 17 to omit C and to substitute CA. Point 3, on page 7 in line 26 to omit C and to substitute CA. On page 10, a new clause is proposed to amend Schedule 2 of the Act to provide for political liaison committees. The new clause, point 1, on page 15, after line 45, to insert the following new clause after clause 11 and to renumber the existing clause 12 accordingly. Amendment of Schedule 2 of Act 73 of 1998, clause 22, Schedule 2 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution in item 7G for subparagraph 3 of the following subparagraph, that representatives of that party or candidate attend meetings of any political liaison committee or other forum convened by the Commission. Thank you, Chair. That is the A-list that has been prepared by Legal Services.
Thank you very much, Ms. Govender, for the presentation. I'll also try to ground my video, given the challenges I'm facing. Thanks very much for that presentation. I must indicate that both Honorable Lizelle and Honorable Jose, they are attending. They're in the meeting, but they're also attending another committee meetings. They have just given me a notice. Can we, Mr. Matonsi, are we moving to the Parliamentary Legal Service?
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you. This reflects the deliberation members that you have always contributed to this. So this A list is informed by what we've been deliberating on the inputs presented by all stakeholders, including members, and the decision of the committee. Parliamentary Legal Service, thank you. You can proceed.
Good morning, Chairperson. I'm Talana Ali from Parliamentary Legal Services, and I'll be presenting to the committee outstanding issues requiring decision-making relating to drafting. Let me just share my screen for a moment. And I'll be switching off my video for better viewing. Before we begin, we'd like to give the context for the committee. On the 14th of July, the Constitutional and Legal Services Office and the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor met to finalize the A-list. During this meeting, we both agreed that there remains a number of outstanding issues which require decision-making by the committee that would feed into the possible amendments to the current bill. These issues include the removal of the term qualifications for independent candidates, the amendment of the term political party to merely party, and whether independent candidates can contest multiple regions for a regional seat versus independent candidates contesting only one region in which they are resident. The payment of deposits by independent candidates and the implication of the term, if any. And then finally, Schedule 1A, which consists of items that deals with issues such as calculations, ballot papers, vacancies, among others. The first issue is the removal of the term qualifications. This issue was raised that the term qualifications implied an academic requirement necessary for a certain job. And Chairperson, this issue was either raised during committee deliberations or public hearings, but we as CLSO felt it would be remiss not to gain a resolution on this issue. The discussions indicated that this term could be misleading and not the intention of the bill. However, a decision has not been taken regarding the removal of this term. The term appears in the bill as follows. In the long title, it reads, to provide for requirements and qualifications which must be met by persons who wish to be registered as independent candidates. And then it appears in clause 431B, which reads, requirements and qualifications for independent candidates to contest elections. The second issue is the removal of the term political. The CLSO has highlighted to this committee that the Electoral Act does not define the term party, nor does it define the term political party. However, the Electoral Commission Act does define party. We have observed that the bill, in certain clauses, uses the term political party, which is incorrect and is not defined in the Electoral Act, nor in the Electoral Commission Act. So in order to be consistent in the term political party, in order to be consistent, the term political party in the bill should be amended to read party. And these are a few examples how the term political party appears throughout the bill. As the committee can see, it appears in clause one at the definitions candidate and then independent candidate. It also appears in clause four of the bill at 31B3F and also throughout schedule one. And this must all be amended in order to ensure consistency throughout the bill. The third issue would be the question regarding independent candidates contesting multiple regions versus independent candidates contesting one region for the regional seat in the National Assembly. The question of whether an independent candidate may be permitted to contest multiple regions for a regional seat in the National Assembly, or whether an independent candidate should only contest in the region they are resident, i.e. one region, remained an outstanding issue in last week's PC meeting, which was held on the 12th of July. Depending on the policy decision taken in respect of the above, the drafting implications are twofold. Firstly, should the committee decide that independent candidates contest multiple regions, there would be the following drafting implications. Clause 4 would need to be amended, as can be seen, that Section 31A1 provides a requirement for independent candidates that they should not only be an ordinary resident in the region or province concerned, but also that they be registered as a voter on the segment of the voter's roll for that region or that province concerned. Section 31B3 would also need to be amended, as this provides that the nomination of the independent candidate must be accompanied by a completed prescribed form with the number of signatures that appear on the segment of the voter's roll for that region or province. And also 31B3E would need to be amended, as it provides that the nomination of an independent candidate must be accompanied by a declaration signed by the candidate confirming that their residential address is situated within that region or province. Furthermore, the committee decides that independent candidates should be able to contest multiple regions. The same then should apply to party candidates. Therefore, this will impact on the following clauses. Section 27(2)(CA), which provides that a registered party must nominate candidates and submit lists of candidates to the chief electoral officer, and such lists must be accompanied by a declaration signed by each candidate appearing on the party's regional list, which confirms that she is registered to vote within that region in which the election takes place, as well as Schedule 1A, Item 3.4, which specifically states that the same name of a candidate on a party list may not apply on more than one regional list. Secondly, should the committee resolve that the independent candidate should only contest one region, the region in which they are resident, then this would have the following drafting implications. The committee can see then section 31A1, 31B3A, and E would not require an amendment. However, this decision could impact on section 27(2)(c)(a) of the bill, which, as explained a moment ago, relates to the requirement that a party candidate should only confirm that they are registered to vote in that region, but there is no residency requirement. The department has indicated that the registration to vote implies residency. However, it is recommended by the CLSO that the language in section 27(2)(c)(a) be made clearer in order to be aligned with the requirements for independent candidates, which, as we mentioned, are required to be resident and to be registered to vote in the region. It must be noted, however, that the aforesaid discussion pertains to regional seats in the National Assembly, as it would appear that the deliberations that residency for all candidates would be a requirement for provincial seats. And the committee can confirm this. Deposits. The committee agreed that independent candidates should pay deposits. However, in clause 4, section 31B3B states that a deposit equal to a prescribed amount, if any, payable in the prescribed form and manner. If any implies that there may be instances where an independent candidate will not pay a deposit. This is therefore not a true reflection of the intentions of the committee and will require an amendment by deleting the term, if any. And lastly, members, Schedule 1A of the bill. The committee has decided that the bill should be amended to extend the existing allocation system as contained in the Electoral Act and expand it to include independent candidates using the highest remainder. The committee also agreed that the bill should be amended to reflect 3 ballot papers. The committee also agreed that the bill should be amended to ensure that vacancies for independent candidates are filled by the next highest available candidate or political party. The Constitutional and Legal Service Office and the Office of the State Law Advisor have considered Schedule 1A. However, the amendments that are requested by the committee are of a technical nature and are not within the expertise of legal services. The department, through their legal counsel and the IEC, have provided the committee with initial drafts regarding this amendment. And the IEC in particular have now written to the committee confirming that the amendments are of a technical nature and that they will present an option relating to Schedule 1A later this week. It is our opinion that the department and the IEC are best placed to present these options. However, a resolution is required from the committee regarding which option to incorporate into the bill. And that's us. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chalana. And thanks very much, Ms. Govender, for the presentations. Members, these are the issues, the presentations which we have interacted with. And earlier on, as we did confirm with the Commissioner Meabza, that they will then come back to the committee on Friday to present the issues that Telena also has raised in relation to the Schedule 1A, which are more technical. So also, I think it will be in their process if they need to liaise with the Home Affairs, but we'll expect that presentation so that we're able to conclude the A list. look on the what the two presentation have raised, because the earliest we can't adopt it today, given the outstanding issues that have been raised, and when the IEC has now presented on the options which were highlighted, we'll then take that decision to adopt the A list. There are issues which are reflecting on the presentation of Telana, that on the wedding or the that must reflect on the bill which the committee needs to reaffirm or affirm those, noting that there was deliberations, if I can recollect, in one of the our committee meeting. I think citing the area where qualifications or requirements, I think there was that a deliberation at some point and an understanding as to how we must change qualification to requirements. But I'm just giving a side note that we have able to deliberate so that the committee on record changes some of the capturing weights for processing of concluding this matter. The area where it was outstanding, I think it's well captured. It is on the multiple regions and participation, which the committee must take a decision on that. I'm going to invite members to interact, comment. Then we'll after that we'll then deal. We'll await for the IEC to come and present, and we'll get comments, response comments from the team led by Telana and the Ms. Govender on the two presentation, the attitude of the committee members, and I'll then invite for responses then. I'll invite the Honorable Pile, Honorable Mulekwa, Honorable Ross, Honorable Kanyile, and Honorable Mudise. Honorable and Honorable Tito, Mr. Matunzi, I got an indication that if Honorable Lohase and Honorable Zell are now on our meeting, they will indicate. But at this moment, we can get Honorable Pile, Honorable Mulekwa, Honorable Ross, Honorable Kanyile, Honorable Tito, Honorable Mutise. Thank you, Honorable Pile.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and very good morning to all members and all stakeholders present. Chair, I want to deal with the one very quickly, the first presentation from the State Law Advisor. I'm happy with all of the capturing and submissions. I think that it adequately captures correctly the deliberations of committee, and also it just, you know, places each item and each clause the way it should be. So I'm in full support of that. There's just one part that I thought I wanted to raise, and I don't know how much of a difference it may have in terms of content or substance. If we can flag the part or the section about deposits, Ms. Govender, if you can just flag that part about deposits, because there's a line. Okay, if we go further down.
Ms. Govender, if you can direct me which page, if you...
Hi, Eddie. I'm going to look for it now. I'm also trying to find, is it... I think it's... sorry, I think it's dealing with clause... Is it clause four?
It's where you've... The new part that you've added. What it should read as.
Eddie, it's page four.
There we go. No, you've gone too far.
Okay, this one?
Page four, yes.
Yes, that's the one. Number three. The last part. may also be different to the deposits paid by registered parties, or should we include the word political? I'm just asking because you might then read it as anyone who's registered for an election. So that's the only part that I think I wanted to propose, perhaps, if it doesn't change substantially, whether we should include the word political parties, because we are differentiating between independents and political parties. So that's fine. I'm happy with that, Chair. Then the second one, the second presentation, I'm going to start with the removal of qualifications. I want to support, Chairperson, that we do remove the word qualifications. And I'm saying this particularly because when we were in public hearings, we were clear that, submissions were clear that some people thought it was referring to educational qualifications. And perhaps we must then look at how we can make that easier to understand. And I think requirements suffices if one says requirements. The rest of it, I'm happy with. I'm just going to dwell on the residency requirement and multiple regions. I think we've had many discussions and deliberations, Chairperson, on whether you can contest an election by just being a registered voter anywhere in South Africa. And I think that part is clear. Yes, you can be registered anywhere so that you'll be able to qualify or contest. However, when I have to zoom into the discussion around multiple regions, I just want to draw the committee's attention, Chairperson, to the fact that, let's take an example, that I am in KZN and I contest the elections in KZN and in Limpopo, and that I then get enough votes for a seat in Limpopo. Does this mean that I will leave KZN and be part of the legislature in Limpopo? And I just can't understand the logic of that. How I would leave the province that I am in to be able to then be part of a legislature in a province that I have never lived or worked or even had any grounding in. And I think it for me, that raises a challenge. And in light of that, Chair, I want to propose that it remains as one region, that you are able to contest in one region only. Because it's just not going to be logical for any individual, even a political party. You will not find a political party taking a candidate on the list that's in KZN and placing them in the Western Cape legislature. You will find that where you are is where you would appear on that list, and that's where you would be able to then occupy a seat in the legislature. In respect of the part that comes in around the NA, and I want to be clear that we differentiate, that we've agreed that it doesn't relate to compensatory seats. It only relates to the first 200. And in that instance, Chair, I think we should remain with the discussion or proposals around where you occupy, where you've reached the highest number of seats. And I don't think that there is a need for that ranking in any event, because the legislatures or provinces will have different quotas in terms of the number of votes for a seat. And in that instance, there won't be a case in point where you would have to then choose. I think it should just remain where you have received the highest number of votes. Chair, I'm happy with everything else. I don't want to dwell into the discussion around Schedule 1A because we're still going to receive a presentation by the IEC, and then perhaps we can unpack it. But otherwise, I'm happy with everything that has been presented to us. And I hope that we can be able to then finalize so that we're able to move forward. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thanks. Before the second speaker, if you go to the Telana presentation, the intention of the presentation is that the committee must consider to change certain wordings there, like you did, Honorable Pillay, on qualification and requirements. If you go through the document, it indicates areas where she has presented so that the committee make its own decision on that. It's not technical. I'm not sure whether Ms. Henley, I'm getting you, we got you correctly. So that if Ms. Honorable Pillay says he's happy on everything, he's even saying that in the wording that he must change to say he's also adopting that. Can you just come back, Ms. Henley, so that members are more clear on what we must do in that in that document.
In the document. Yes, Chairperson. Before I delve into that, I just want to clarify something with Honourable Pillay. When we dealt with multiple regions, we were speaking to a regional seat. So by virtue of your example, Honourable Pillay, if you had to obtain a regional seat via Limpopo, you wouldn't be present in Limpopo because that's the provincial legislature. We're dealing with a National Assembly seat. And regarding your question, Honourable Chair, we are presenting you representing the committee with various amendments that are in a technical nature, but require but have a content issue. So a decision needs to be made. And as far as I recall, a decision hasn't been made regarding whether we opt for multiple regions or a single region. I hope I'm clear, Chairperson.
No. I'm not referring on that subject.
But the other ones.
Yes, I think on this one, members are laboring on it now.
Okay.
What I'm trying to bring to the attention of the meeting, of the committee, is that on your document, for example, you say that the committee needs to change, to consider changing qualification to requirements. So the highlights you have made in your report where we must say consider to change. And Honorable Pillay says he's happy on everything that is there. And I don't think he understood you correctly in terms of that certain areas which we need to consider to change. If you can just bring up that report. Outside the key issues that we must discuss, this multi, which Honorable Pillay has already made an input.
Do you want me to flight the presentation again or just highlight?
Yes. I think it would be important so that...
I can do that.
Yeah.
So what we were saying, Chair, is that we need... give me a moment to just flight the presentation again. So what we had discussed, Chair, was that we required resolutions from the committee regarding these issues. And I think the first slide indicates the four issues.
Yes, you see on the first line, the qualification, and we need to change into committee consider for requirement. I'm referring to the entire document, but I think members might have gone through it.
So we would need resolutions from the committee. Can we make those amendments?
Yeah. Honourable Pillay and honourable members, I'm trying to take you back, if you will come back, so that we're able to exhaust all these issues that we need to deal with.
Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. Will you come back later or can other members come in?
Sure, no problem. You can come back after that.
Thank you. Honorable Mulegwa.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. I think I'm covered by honorable play and the response made by a member on the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Ruas.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the presenters. So first of all, looking at the A list, just going to clause 4, item 1. I just want to get clarity on that. It talks about the requirement for signatures, but we were also very clear that we would need an ID number and a name for the IEC to be able to verify that that person was on the voters' roll. So perhaps we just need that little bit more clarity in that clause to say that it wouldn't only be a signature, it would also be an ID number and a first name and a last name to allow for that verification, unless I'm misunderstanding what the definition of a signature is there. So I would propose that the ID number and the name and surname be added to those requirements. And then from the Parliamentary Legal Service presentation, so certainly, don't really have a problem with the removal of qualification, as well as the proposal about political party being changed to party. Then in terms of the independent candidates in multiple regions, I think, Chair, the reason why we started going around on this issue was because, I'm thinking a while back that at one stage where we had presentations on the constitutionality of the bill, then there was a concern raised, and I think it was by the IEC, that not allowing independent candidates to stand in more than one region perhaps would lead to an issue of unconstitutionality. And that is why there was sort of this attempt to try and come to a middle ground. But I'm imagining that by presenting these two options, option 1, multiple regions, option 2, standing in the region of residence and registration, that the Parliamentary Legal Service is saying that that option would be constitutional. Because from what I remember, that you know that was what the committee had sort of discussed, that members of political parties they need to stand in a specific region to National Assembly, but that for some reason the independent candidates should be able to stand in multiple regions, otherwise it might be ruled unconstitutional. So I think if we receive that assurance that option 2 is constitutional, then my view is that we would certainly go for option 2. And that also deals with the aspect of fairness of candidates standing in political parties being limited to one region vis-a-vis independent candidates. That would bring the element of fairness that would then say, if you're an independent candidate or a candidate within a political party, then you have the same opportunity to choose your region and stand there. So we would go for option 2. And then in terms of the deposits, we agree with that proposed amendment. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, so thank you very much. Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, colleagues. Chairperson, I have noted the both presentations and we appreciate them. However, there's just a few things that I'd like to raise. The first issue, it is the issue of the requirement and qualification, where qualification appears to be an issue. And as Honorable Pillay has indicated, that in most of the public consultations that we have had, most people that attended, they've raised their concern around this issue. I'd like to propose that can we maybe replace qualification with criteria, have requirements and criteria? I think it's a decision that we can take as a committee. The second issue that was raised in one of the presentations was the issue of the word political party. I understand that in the previous meetings, we have as a committee agreed that the word party will suffice, because the independent candidates, they are contesting
as a party, political parties, they are a party contesting elections. So I think we agree that the word party can be used. I'd like to suggest that we resolve on this today as well. I have been covered on the issue of participation in one region or multiple regions by Honorable Rose. Then, Chairperson, another issue that I have noted is the issue of the deposits.
Honorable Kanyile, your network is failing you. The network is failing you. Can you come back again? We are not capturing what you want to raise. Mr. Matunz, is she still on the platform?
Yes, she's still on the platform. Probably she has a problem with the network. If maybe we can move to the next one, then she can come back when she's okay.
Okay. Honorable Tito?
Chairperson, she's not in the meeting. She joined and then I'm sure she left again.
Okay. I think the network. Honorable Mudise, Mja?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, on the independents, on whether or not they can contest one region or multiple regions, I think I also want to align myself to the views that if there is assurance on the fact that independents contesting one region, there is a comfortability with the constitutionality of that. Therefore, I would support that option too. But instead of allowing independents to contest multiple regions with it's something that is different from political parties, then we are comfortable that they can then contest the one region where they reside. Chair, on the issue of the term political party or merely the party, I'm comfortable with a party as well as it would have been suggested in the previous deliberations. On Schedule 1A, the calculations of seats, I'm not sure, Chair, if there was no resolve, but if I remember quite well, would have resolved on the system that would be used to calculate the allocation of seats. I'm not sure why is this issue coming back, but otherwise I'm comfortable. I think some of the issues on a role play would have then sufficiently covered me. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Let me go back to Honorable Pile and Honorable Kanyile. Let me start with Honorable Kanyile. She has not completed a submission so that it's recorded. Honorable Kanyile, if you are back.
I am back, Chairperson, and I apologize for that. I think I'm having a problem with my network. Chairperson, do you want me to start from scratch? Or I'm really not sure where did you lose me?
Yeah, I think just you can start because we have noted that network will have challenges with network so that you are properly captured. Honorable Kanyile.
Okay, Chairperson, on the issue of requirements and qualification, I was proposing that we replace qualification with criteria. And the second issue that I have raised, it is the issue of political party. And to be amended with the word party. I understand that in the previous discussions in this portfolio committee, this was the agreement that we came to. The participation of one region or multiple regions, Chairperson, and I did indicate that Honorable Rose has covered me. And then the issue of deposit, Chairperson, as a portfolio committee, we have reached an agreement that independent candidate must pay a deposit that is going to be determined by the IEC. So I suggest that the word, if any, must be removed because if I captured the presenter very well, she indicated that if we have the word, if any, it means they may or they may not pay a deposit. But it is my understanding that we have taken a resolution in this portfolio committee that independent candidates must pay a deposit. So I suggest that the word, if any, should be removed. And Chairperson, on the issue of ID numbers to be included when they submit their signatures and the names and surnames, I do support Honourable Rose for the verification purposes, because we need to verify that all those people are appearing on the voter's roll. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Pile.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I'm going to go for the purposes of recording that I agree on the removal of the term qualifications for independent candidates, and that I see no harm in requirements or criteria, but I think that just having one word requirements might be sufficient, unless if the committee feels otherwise. But I think that requirements would suffice. I also want to agree on the amendment of the term political party, as indicated in the presentation. In respect of the multiple regions, Chairperson, I'm also going to support option two, that it's one region. And I just want to re-emphasize that while we have started this process to be able to engage and include for independent candidates, we must not lose sight of the fact that you have political parties already contesting the space, and that whatever we do must not ever be or seen to be taking or giving more preference to one over the other. And in this instance, Chair, it will be important to note that in the current form of elections, political parties send candidates to Parliament through a regional list. And in that instance, they are only appearing on one region and not more than one. So there's no multiple regions. And if we had to then say that we allow for independence on multiple, it means that we are then going to have to amend or change the current in terms of allowing political parties to do the same. And I think that's going to then create a conundrum that we might not even see ourselves getting out of. And Chair, for that reason, we should be able to treat all individuals fairly, both political parties and independents. And I support strongly that option two, to be contested in one region should be the decision we take as a committee. I also then want to say, in terms of the payment of deposits, I agree that the if any should be removed. And I think it was quite correctly captured through the A-list that was presented by Ms. Govender. Again, I'm saying that in Schedule 1A, I support what Honourable Modise has said, that we have agreed on these processes that need to be followed or criteria, etc. However, we may raise it further in terms of discussions around when we receive the presentation on Friday. In respect of the signatures, I think, you know, we've quite categorically said that it has to be a registered voter who shows support for an independent candidate. So I'm just thinking that having to include that may cater for the submission by Honourable Ruas and Honourable Kanile about ID numbers and names. Because when you're a registered voter, you already have your details in terms of ID numbers and signatures. And especially if we're looking at how you're going to submit this electronically, there will be a vetting process in terms of who is registered or not. But there's no harm in having to include that, because it has to be a registered voter that shows support. In respect of the A-list, Chairperson, all the amendments that were presented to us, I want to endorse. And I think the last thing for us to do now is just to receive Schedule 1A, and then we'll be done. Thank you.
Thank you, members, for your consideration of the two presentations and changes that were required. We are carrying all the issues. Members, I think they are agreeing and resolving on the submissions, on the contest, contesting of regions were resolving on option two, changing of the qualifications to requirements, and agreeing that the Schedule 1, we agreed, but the IEC will come back to brief the committee. Now, that said, there were a few issues that the committee ought to resolve so that it's clearer when we're going to finalize the A-list once the IEC has brought the matter to our attention. These issues, all of them, we've deliberated on them, including the issue that Honorable Mutise has raised. And this informs what this meeting and the stakeholders will be interacting with. I'll get the state law advisor or parliamentary legal service to comment on the issues that are arising from the meeting. Then I will go back to Commissioner Muyebza if there's anything. Then we'll then await for final adoption of the A list in our next meeting after we've considered all the matters. Let me again before invite Honorable Lizelle. She's back. She wanted to make a comment. Co-chair.
No, Chair, thank you very much and good morning to our colleagues, and thank you very much for the presentations. I've actually already summarized, so there's really no need for me to speak because I think I wanted to just support my colleagues that have spoken before me in terms of the issue. So maybe just for record purposes, Chairperson, I just wanted to say that I do support the issues of removing qualifications and using requirements or criteria, and of course the issue of political party to be amended to party and removing deposits, if any. And I was also happy with the suggestion that if Talana suggests that option two in her presentation is constitutional, that we will support option two. But now that we're at the business end of these deliberations and we are moving towards finalizing discussions on these issues, I just wanted to repeat what I said in the previous meeting, Chairperson. And it's really just for noting purposes that I do really hold the view that asking independent candidates to garner 20,000 or approximately 20,000 signatures for the purposes of being able to stand for elections is far too high. And I would have wanted a lower number. I think it's quite a huge hill to climb in order to be able to be eligible for elections. And lastly, I wanted to say, and we haven't considered it again, but I think the cooling off period, we should have considered removing that, because I think it will be very difficult for them to monitor that. And it's an additional requirement, which isn't really necessary in my view. But that being said, Chairperson, I just wanted to put that on record for noting purposes and then to agree with my colleagues with regards to the other points that they've raised. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair, and also making sure that you get out of other meeting and join this meeting. Thanks, and I appreciate the contributions. Issues have been noted. Let me start with the state law advisor, and then I'll come to Mr. Njikela, Telana, and Daksha, if there's any issue. Ms. Govender?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we have noted the input from the honourable members, and we will be considering those, and if necessary, we will revert. Chair, through you, if I could just get clarity from, I think it was Honourable Roos, who raised the issue of the amendment to Clause 4. If he could just possibly rephrase or restate exactly what his concern was, because at the moment it provides that the one of the things that needs to be attached to a nomination when it is submitted, and that has been rephrased to a completed prescribed form with electronically submitted signatures of voting and then totaling the 50% of the quota for the seat that was required for a seat in the previous elections. If for clarity and for the sake of drafting, would it be possible for him to just rephrase exactly what his concern is?
Let me get... I want to do it differently, but it's fine. Let me get Honorable Ross back for the concern or the issue is raised by Ms. Govender.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So basically the clause says with electronically submitted signatures of voters, and I would say that you would need to say submitted signatures, identity numbers, and full names of voters, something like that. Because we had indicated and the IEC had indicated that they would need the ID numbers and they would, so we would need the ID numbers and they would need to be submitted in an electronic format in order to then take those ID numbers and verify them against the voters' roll. So my concern was that if you just put signatures, and that is taken as the requirement is you just need 20,000 signatures on a page, then how would you verify that against the voters' roll? Because you don't have signatures on the voters' roll. So I hope that's clear.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Ms. Govender.
Thank you, Chair. We have noted that and we will consider it and revert.
Okay. Thank you. Let me get to Parliamentary Legal Service. I'm sure Telana, Daksha, let me start with Telana and Daksha and Ms. Njigela if is in the meeting. Ms. Handley.
Chairperson, I only noted one question regarding the constitutionality of option two, and Mr. Njikela is present in the meeting and he will answer to that. I don't think there were any other questions. I think Daksha can come in if I've missed anything.
Daksha?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. Now, we've certainly got consensus and decisions regarding the issues that we required decisions on for us to now go and supplement the A-list in respect of that. I mean, the terms, removing the term qualifications, removing the term political, regarding the payment of deposits. When it came to the issue of multiple regions versus regional seats, what we wanted from this meeting was a decision on which option to go with. We hadn't at this point obviously looked into the constitutionality of it. What we wanted, however, then, if there is a question of constitutionality, is to perhaps get the department to, or we would engage with the department to get an explanation on what the legitimate government purpose was on restricting independent candidates to contest one seat. So that's something for us to consider with the department. If there indeed is a constitutional concern, we'll definitely bring it back to this committee. But I'm going to ask Mr. Chikela to supplement what I've said. But otherwise, I think we've covered. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Kassan. Mr. Njigela?
Chairperson, I think my colleagues have covered me, more especially what Daksha has just said now. There is an issue around the question of multiple regions. And a legal question has been raised whether it will be constitutional or legal or lawful for a member to be restricted from contesting nationally. And this is a highly polycentric issue, which I think the department must speak to. Of course, we will have to consider and advise the committee on that once we have had the benefit of the policy answer from the department. At the moment, Chairperson, we are considering it. Section 19 of the Constitution entitles all of us to stand for elections if we decide to. whether the limitation that is being placed on that is constitutional or lawful is a matter that can be debatable. But I think from the side of the committee, we need at least to be able to understand why it was necessary and how we can justify it. And I think that that is the explanation we're looking for in as far as the department's side is concerned. And at least we can take it from there as Parliament's legal services to see if that will pass the test of a reasonable limitation of a right. And I think we can only apply ourselves to that once we have had the benefit of what the department's thoughts were on that issue. I think that's all I need to say at this moment, Chair.
Thank you. What will advise Mr. Angela and the department, perhaps, yeah, is that you may need to take a course of a discussion with the department, though they can come back to the committee on Friday, just to ascertain that clarity to members so that we don't get the brief or the response on Friday when we can have a side legal discussions, including with the council. On that area, I think it will assist the committee so that when we come back on Friday, we're able to have a collective understanding as you present, and if there are differences, then the committee will be able to deal with that and comment. I think that may assist us, Mr. Njigela, unless yes. Can I get that? Will be an understanding, Mr. Njigela. Okay, Mr. Njigela is gone. Telana?
Yes, Chairperson, that is correct.
Okay. Mr. Malikana, Home Affairs, can you come in? Thank you. Mr. Malekate, sorry, I call it wrongly. That's why you don't come in. Mr. Malakate, yes.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members. I am Moses Malakate from the Department of Home Affairs. Chair, on the question that has been raised by Mr. Njikela, I think it would your intervention relating to how we would need to deal with it, that for us it's proper.
Yeah.
That we would liaise with each other and we would talk as a department and then provide our responses to Mr. Njigela, but also I think we may also be if the chair allows that on Friday we can also then provide our responses to the question that is being raised in relation to multiple regions. Chair, there is also something that we have noted from the department in relation to the A list. That we think that if Chair allows, that we should be able to touch base with the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor as well as the Parliamentary Legal Advisor in relation to the A list, because we have noted that there are certain issues that have not been taken care of that we might need to come back to the committee with those issues that we, from our side as a department, we have noted, and we had not had an opportunity to talk to to our colleagues in relation to the A-list. So if Chair would allow that and provide us with an opportunity for us as to talk to the two colleagues and provide then a revised A-list if the colleagues are in agreement on Friday. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks very much, Mr. Malakate. That's a proper intervention. Let me draw members so that we affirm this proposal and understanding in as a process before we close, so that it becomes a decision of the committee on the input the chair has raised. Before that, let me just get the commissioner matter before, if there's any other matter, so that we then wrap up at once. I'll accept the matter that we've dealt with earlier on when we're open. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, honourable members. Chair, there are indeed a few issues that we would want to give feedback to yourselves and the committee. Clause four of the A list. It is so indeed that what we would need are identity numbers of the people supporting an individual candidate. We will set up a system where those identity numbers are captured. We will recommend that the signatures which are necessary and the names of the people be kept by independent candidates in the event that they are needed, as we currently do in local government and for independent candidates and political parties. We are quite happy to talk to parliamentary legal services and or the chief state law advisor in that respect before Friday. The second thing that we thought was important in that clause, Honourable Pillay raised the issue about registered parties or political parties. And I thought the issue is also arising from the context of the legal services. If one looks at what a political party is defined in the Act, it is in fact defined as a registered party. And so I thought that that draft in clause 6 on page 4 was correct technically. But whether we, you know, the committee adopts parties to mean registered parties or political parties, I think it's a matter that the committee can reflect, and legal services may in fact advise on it. Where we would request that we have an opportunity to certainly interact with the Office of the State Law Advisor or Parliamentary Legal Services is in respect of the new clauses relating in particular to the insertion of agents for independent candidates. There are two alternatives we would like to consider with them, and if possible, come back to the committee with those two issues considered. They will affect clause 1, capital A, both A and B of those clauses. There are then two or three residual issues. Honourable Kanyile raised and Honourable Pillay raised discomfort in relation to the words qualification in the context of candidates. This discomfort, though we understand, and I understand it was picked up from the public process that was undertaken. But one must have regard to the fact that qualification in terms of a candidate or a member of a legislature is a thing that flows directly from sections 47 and 106 of the Constitution. It sets out those things as qualifications. And that's exactly what we are referring to. We are referring to nothing else but those things. And so if one considers changing that to criteria or something else, there may be disconsonance with what's in the Constitution. And perhaps the legal eagles will reflect that better than I do or we do at the moment. The last thing that we wanted to raise was the issue concerning the cooling off period. We just want to indicate, Chairperson, respectfully, that the concerns raised by the Department of Home Affairs Senior Counsel are for us very weighty as the Commission. We have had Honorable Van der Merwe raise those again today, and we ourselves are saying we would like this committee to know that we have no way as the Electoral Commission to enforce those, because membership of political parties is not in the public domain, and we do not have who are members of which political parties. Lastly, in relation to the contribution we have been requested to make in relation to Schedule 1A, we do wish to point out, as we have done previously, that there may be other residual issues arising out of it. When we raise them on Friday, please have forbearance for us. We will certainly point those out as may be necessary. That's our contribution, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Commissioner Miebza. I'm sure there's no any other addition from the commissioners or the executive. Is that my understanding, Commissioner Mayor?
That's correct, Chair.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
There we go, Chairperson. CEO, I don't know if there's anything we have missed.
No, Chair, I think all matters have been adequately addressed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Miebza and your team. As I've indicated, members, I wanted to draw you to the summary which I've initiated. One, that the legal team, the State Law Advisor, Parliamentary Legal Service, and the Home Affairs, and the IEC, now Commissioner Mehta also has offered that commitment that they need to interact on technical and legal issues during the week. Then a presentation will be made on Friday in our committee. There may be other issues that separately they want to maybe to advance, which may not, or maybe outside the legal perimeters, which they may deal with. IEC submit to the committee and the Department of Home Affairs, and that will able to consider those issues. But principle that there must be that engagement during the week. There are other issues which are flagged, which will members will given time to reflect on, including which the IEC have raised, and I think Honorable Lizelle raised. And what important is on also Section 46 of the Constitution that we may need to look at. They'll come back to the committee and deal with the present those. We're at a stage where we were now noted all the issues, the presentation, resolve on some of the issues so that we're able to finalize the A list on Friday, once some of the technical issues that have been raised. Is that members will give us comfort to proceed on Friday. Let me start with Honorable Pillay, Honorable Mulekwa, Honorable Izel, if you are back, Honorable Ross, Honorable Kanyile, and Honorable Mutise. So that we... Honorable Pillay?
Yes, Chairperson, that will. And I support the summary and the way forward. Thank you.
Honorable Mulekwa?
Thank you, Chairperson. I am okay. Thank you.
Honorable Izel? No. Honorable Ross?
Thank you, Chairperson. Supported.
Honorable Kanyile?
Thank you, Chairperson. Supported.
Honorable Mudise? Mza?
Thanks, Chair. It's supported.
Okay. Noted. Thanks, members. Thanks very much. I think that will be our approach for our next meeting. Thanks, Legal Service, Parliamentary Legal Service, Mr. Njikela and your team. Thanks, Ms. Gavenda and Ms. Williams. Thanks, Commissioner Meabja and the entire Commissioner Masuku, I've noted, and the CEO and the team. Thanks, Mr. Malekate and your team. Our meeting stand adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Bye-bye.